Why is silence so awkward? I do have a habit of doing that. A lot of times silence can be just so awkward. How many of you guys were uncomfortable with that? You especially, right, Jill? For no reason at all whatsoever. But a lot of us, sometimes when we hear silence and we sit, we go, okay, should I say something? You know, I heard some of you guys started to like giggle over here, like, because there's nothing better to do. Like, I don't know what to do from here. You know, and you guys know what I'm talking about. That gigantic pause where you're just like, how about this? Like, when your toddler says, Mommy, Daddy, where did I come from? Or maybe when you go out on a date and they're like, they want pineapple on their pizza. Okay, sorry for you guys that like pineapple on your pizza, but, you know. Or maybe when someone comes up, and I'm not going to say I'm guilty of this, but I might be. Or when someone comes up to you and like, hey, Joe, how are you doing? And you're like, I know them from somewhere. And they might even have a name, but it's not coming to my head right now. And you're just like, hey, you, with the hair. Or how about for the students, you know, like the awkward moment when, you know, your parents catch you and you're like, let me try to think of something real quick. Or how about when someone says something like completely weird and taboo, like, hey, cereal, it's just really grain soup, okay? Stuff like that, you know, you're just like, wait. Or how about to the real issues? How about this? When someone asks you a difficult question, and you know that your response will break their heart, and you try to think of something or anything to say. And maybe for some of us, this awkward silence, it's waiting for someone just to say something or do something, or maybe it's these times where silence isn't just awkward, but sometimes it can be overwhelming. Like, I love you. Okay, great. And for some of us, what it comes down to is that it can even come down to saying, God, I need some help. Or God, will you rescue me? Or God, help me. Or even for some of us who don't believe in God, and they just simply say, okay, God, if you are out there, would you please respond somehow? Say something. Show me that you care. And just to clarify, people, we can be talking all around you, and you still feel the weight of silence. Because silence is more than just the lack of words around us or the lack of noise or sound. Silence can be the unspoken answer that you desperately want to hear. Silence can be a cacophony that's all around us and drowning out the answer that we really need to hear. And I know that some of you guys, when you saw this up here, immediately you started thinking the brilliant words of Simon and Garfunkel, right? Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Because a vision softly creeping lifts its seeds while I was sleeping, and the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound. Sorry. You know, I think we live in a day and age right now that we surround ourselves so much with so many things, with alerts or alarms, or some of us, we missed our alarms this morning, or some of us forgot about the time switch. But anyway, or we set several alarms. We put in our earphones and listen to music, trying to drown out things sometimes. We surround ourselves with so much busyness because sometimes we're afraid of what silence confronts us with. Because in silence, we're forced to, instead of saying, hey, come and entertain me, come and play a song for me, come and let me do this, and we stay so busy that we don't sit still alone and we don't take a measure of ourselves. Because if we sit in silence, sometimes we have to think of, okay, now I got to talk to God or talk to myself. And sometimes it feels like we answer more than God does. Well, this song of Simon and Garfunkel, there's this whole song, they sing this song, and it's like, you know, the silence, it's oppressive, it's overwhelming, and silence can be this way sometimes. I believe, like, we're living in this void, and the silence is just too much. And sometimes we get that way thinking, man, if I don't busy myself with something, then I might be confronted with how far my life is from where it needs to be. And some of us are so busy trying to do things that we don't do things that we really should be doing. You know, I've shared this before, and I think it still holds true. I sincerely believe that busy is the new lazy. God, I don't have time for you, or God, I don't have time for this, or I don't have time for that because I'm already busy doing other things. We're so busy being a Martha, being busy and doing busy work, that we don't have time for things that really matter. Sometimes we forget that, man, I really need to just sit at the feet of Jesus and listen and learn. We're so busy doing things, filling our schedule, surrounding ourselves with noise, that we make very little time to be still. Because if I have to be still, that means that I have to stop and I have to take an inventory and I have to look at myself and say, okay, God, I know that you want me to be here, and I'm not. Or we look internally and we look at the relationships that we've messed up or the things that we've made and mistakes in our lives. This, I think, is sometimes when we feel like silence is so awkward. You know, a lot of times when we have an awkward silence in a conversation, it's a natural tendency to do something to break that silence. I'm just going to let that sit. So I want to look at a few verses in the Bible, look a few examples that we find in the Bible, because I sincerely believe that God is a big proponent of silence. And not only will he use it for his advantage, but he'll also use it for ours. So before we dig in there, let's have a word of prayer. Father God, Lord, we thank you for speaking to us through your word, through your actions, and yes, even through your silence. God, I pray that as we dig into your word today, that you would break into our hearts, into the shells that we put up around us, that we would stop, we would be still, we would be silent. We would listen to you speaking to us. Lord, speak, for your servant is listening. I pray these in your name. Amen. And so here's a few examples. I love these examples, and you know, I've got some both old and new, but you know, here's one, Proverbs 17:28. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. So sometimes it's better just to shut up, right? Or how about 1 Kings 19? God is speaking to Elijah. And Elijah is like, okay, God. And God's like, okay, hey, I'm about ready to speak to you. And he has this huge earthquake and this raging fire. And you remember all these things and you'd think God would speak through these. If you remember the story, he came in the sound of a quiet whisper. Lamentations 3:26. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. One of my favorite is Psalm 13. And this is where the psalmist is begging, God, would you please speak to me? Would you please just show me? And this is how he says, he goes, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. I mean, the psalmist is begging, God, just please just speak to me. Just do something, because I can't even sleep at night. It feels like death. Or how about the story of Job? You guys know the story where everything was happening to him. I mean, the dude lost most of his family. He lost almost every earthly possession that he had. And he got to keep his wife. That was a bonus. Except for his wife, you know, wasn't a great Barnabas. She wasn't a great supporter. Because if you remember, she's like, oh, you know, I'm so sorry that all this happened. Maybe you should just curse God and die. Thanks, honey. Love you too. And so Job has all these horrible things that happen to him, and his wife, the supporter, and his friends. Actually, I love his friends, because his friends, for 3 days, he sits there and, you know, he rips his clothes, puts on the sackcloth, puts ash on his face, and he just sits there weeping, and his friends are the best friends for the first 3 days, because they do, they just come up next to him, they sit with him, and they're quiet. Those are some good friends. Until they opened up their mouths and they started saying, oh, hey, there's got to be something you did. You're a bad dude. I mean, that has to be it. What'd you do? What'd you do to make God so mad to have this come on you? His friends were the best friends when they were quiet. Then they started to talk. You know, silence can be very awkward and intimidating, and a lot like Job's friend, what we do is we don't know when to shut up and when to speak up. We think sometimes by filling in the silence, we're doing what's best. And sometimes we are overly vocal for the wrong reasons and silent when we should be speaking up. There are times where we should be closing our mouths and opening up our ears, saying, God, would you please guide me and direct me? Because I honestly believe that God uses silence to bring him glory. And the first reason is this, is because I believe that God's silence is intentional. Sometimes we think, okay, God, if he's silent, then there must be some sort of reason. We're such a busy people that we think that God must be the same way. I mean, he's busy. He's got his plate full. He's hearing prayers from so many people. And if he doesn't answer us, then, you know, then maybe he's out busy, you know, answering someone else's prayer. Or maybe God doesn't know how to multitask, and maybe you're kind of low on the docket. Maybe he forgot about me. Or maybe he just doesn't understand how desperately I need to hear from him right now. You know, God, I understand this problem more than you do, so can you please help me out here? Sometimes we forget that when God answers our prayers, it can be one of three things. When God answers our prayer, he could be like, yeah. And there's some times where he can answer with a no. Of course, and sometimes we're like, I didn't hear that. Let's pray harder. And then there's some times that God answers with just a wait. Just wait. Because there are times when God is silent and it is good. There are times when his silence is him working in our lives. We have to understand that it's a simple concept that just because God is silent, it doesn't mean that he's not listening. It doesn't mean that he doesn't care. It doesn't mean that he loves you any less. It just means that he's silent right now. If you've ever taken experiencing God, one of the first concepts that you'll learn is that God is always at work around us. We don't always see his hand, and a good portion of the reason why we don't see his plan is because I'm a nerd, so I think of it like in kind of a technology kind of way, is we see things in the tiniest little pixels. And God's vision, his plan is in like ultra high def, like beyond 4K, forget all that. You know, that's small potatoes to him. He speaks in the greatest thing. And we understand just this tiny little bit of his plan. God is always at work around us. And all we see is this tiny, tiny little part of his plan. And we can not only just, you know, sometimes it's overwhelming for us, but honestly, we should take comfort in this. Because the God who made the universe, who made everything around us, he's the one in control. Because honestly, if I was in control, I'd mess some things up really bad. This concept is clear to the psalmist in Psalm 46. This is what he says. He says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Wait, are you getting this? Do you understand this? Because, you know, do you hear what's going on? These mountains are falling apart. They're crumbling into the sea, and the sea's fighting back. The sea's like, no, you know, get out of here. I mean, this is a crazy time. This is like end times type disaster going on for the psalmist. He's like, God, you're my refuge, and you're my strength. This is some serious stuff going on, and he continues. And he's like, come behold the works of the Lord. How he's brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and he shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. I mean, that's not really helping. I mean, all of a sudden things get worse. Not only is nature going crazy, but mankind's going crazy too. I mean, wars are going and God's like, oh, stop that war. No more of that. That'd be amazing. What kind of crazy world are we talking about? These desolations on the earth. And then we come to the verse that we often don't look at in context, because we don't read everything before it. We just go to this one little verse. And Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And honestly, if we look at this verse in context, it's so much greater. Because look at the crazy stuff that's going on. It's like, just be still. Sorry if my mic's popping a little bit. I might have gotten it a little wet and diving for Emily. So... these are what the translation says when he says, be still. He says, cease striving. Stop panicking. You know, if there are things that may be going crazy all around you, you may feel as if you're drowning in stress and busyness and heartache and brokenness, and it feels like, oh, you know, I need life to stop dealing me these bad hands. And Scripture is like, hey, stop freaking out. Calm. Peace. Be still. Stop letting these things get to you. God's like, hey, I am the God who made the heavens and the earth. You think that I can't handle your problems? I mean, he's the God who made everything in a six-day period, took a day off. You think he can't handle your problems? See, our mind is limited because, get this, maybe he's already helping you. And you just don't know. I mean, do you know how many times Israel called for help over and over and over again? And they're like, hey, God, help me, God, help me. And Genesis was like, God was like, hey, I'm already going to send someone to help you. It's cool. Be still. Be patient. Just wait. Stop freaking out. And of course, Israel's still over there. Help me, God! Enemies surrounding me. I don't know what to do. And God's like, you're not going to die because I'm still going to use you because the Savior's got to come out of your line. Calm down. Sometimes God is silent because he is preparing us. In his silence, God is working good. Sometimes what we have to do, we just have to sit down, strap in, and shut up. Abide in him. Be silent and let him do what he does best, because God does God-sized things in our life. That way we don't get the glory. So the sound of his silence, it's not only for a purpose, not only is it intentional, but it also prepares us. When we look at the Bible, what we do is we find over and over again that when God is silent, he's like, hey, I want you to pay attention because I'm going to stop talking for a little bit because I really want you to get this. I want you to understand because something amazing is going to happen. I mean, it's like this big dramatic pause, like the sound, not yet, of silence, okay? He's like, look, I need you to pay attention. It's like, hey, watch this. I'm about to do something that's going to blow your minds. And in the Bible, we find some of these biggest times of his silence. We find in the Old Testament, we find the 400 years. 400 years! And you think God not answering you after 4 minutes is a long wait. 400 years of silence. 400 years between Joseph and between Moses. And what he did, he turned a fairly small family group of a dad and his 12 sons, and he turned them into a great nation. Because he was like, hey, when I come back, I'm going to show you who's God over all the other gods. And what did he do? He came and he showed up big. Because he was like, hey, you know all those Egyptian gods? You know the ones that you say have power over the sea? You know, boom, oh, watch this. I have power over life and death. I've got power over bugs. I've got power over plagues. I've got power over everything. Everything that these Egyptians hold dear, I'm greater than them. He provided for them daily. Even after, you know, they came across this the waters, and they were like, oh, okay, what do we do now? And God's like, oh, you know. Between all of that, they go out into the desert, and God's like, you know what? I'm going to provide for you daily too. I'm going to provide water in the desert. I'm going to provide food, manna coming from heaven. I'm going to take care of you, and I'm going to build you into a nation. You know, there's not a lot of many nations that still exist today that existed then. And the Jews are still around. Why? Because God has a plan. I mean, we have a lot of people that have tried to kill them through the years, and they're still around. He shows them this is what it means to be loved by the Lord Almighty. Even though you're in a dark place, even though you're beaten daily, even though you're struggling and calling out, and I'm sure that they were calling out before, you know, let's say, okay, it's been 399 years, maybe we should start calling for help. Anyone? I'm sure that they were calling for help way before that. But for 400 years, he was silent, and then, boom, he shows up. He's like, I'm going to do something that's going to blow your mind. Or how about another 400-year silence? We don't think of this one as much, but the one where God says, okay, no more prophets, at least for a little bit. Because I'm going to send a prophet that I want you to hear. Because he's going to be as one as a voice in the desert, and he's going to be calling out. He's going to be preparing the way for the Lord. And when he comes, I want people to pay attention because he's going to be preparing the way for the Lord. And then people will listen to that prophet. And they'll listen to him. And then my son will come and he will redeem mankind. I mean, for some of us in our Bibles, you know, between the Old and the New Testament, it's just a page turn away, but a lot happened. We have the rise of the Roman Empire. We have, once again, the Jews being oppressed, being put into a form of slavery. And you can be sure that people called out for help then, too. Or, oh, how about this one? This is a silence that hasn't happened yet. In Revelation 8, when the seventh seal will be opened by Jesus, the Bible says that all of heaven is quiet for a half an hour. Because the trumpet judgments are about ready to hit and the world will be brought low. You know, church, maybe some of you guys, maybe you're going through a time where you think God is being silent in my life. Maybe you think, you know, I've been praying this prayer, and I've been praying this prayer for days or weeks or months or years, and we're like, God, I need some help. Will you please come, and will you rescue me? Or maybe you're struggling with the decision, and you don't hear him. Maybe what he's doing is he's simply preparing you for something huge. Maybe he's preparing you for something that you're not ready yet, but you might be on the journey to be ready. And so sometimes what we have to do is we have to be introspective and say, okay, well, you know, God is sometimes as silent, but when are the times when we're silent? When are you completely still before the Almighty? Because sometimes what we do when we talk to God, we're like, rescue me, rescue me, rescue me, rescue me. Now, I sometimes wonder if God feels kind of like, if you've ever, you know, taken any life-saving classes, you know, like those lifesavers, they have the opportunity, you know, if they start to drag you down with them, you know, all right, now we can save them. And sometimes I wonder if God's like, okay, first I got to knock you out so that I can save you. Because we're just sitting there flailing around, God, help me! It's like, shh. Are you completely trusting in God and in his guiding hand to control your life? Because throughout the Bible, we find times of where Israel would often say, okay, well, you know what? You don't know, God, we trust you, but we don't really trust you. We have the wonderful story of Isaac and Ishmael simply because his father refused to wait on God. how about when Israel is like, hey, we want to be like other nations. We want help. We want help on this earth. We want a king. And God's like, hey, you already got a king. He just hasn't come yet. His name is Jesus. You haven't met him yet, but he's your king. And not only that, but I'm your king. They're like, no. That's not what we want a king on this earth. God's like, okay, you want a king on this earth? Okay, here's what's going to happen. He's going to take your wives. He's going to take your horses. He's going to take you out to war. He's going to break up. He's going to ruin your country. He's going to send you out to slavery. You want a king? That's your king. You can have it. Because we think that God, if you're not answering, then he's not working. Sometimes we have to trust God in his silence and say, God, just take control. Because here's the flip side of the coin. Sometimes what we do is this, is we kind of say, okay, God, Lord, speak to me. God, give me directions. What do you want me to do? And we think, man, I'll just sit here, and I'll just wait, and I'll wait until he answers. And you know what would be even better if not only just waiting for his answers, I'm gonna sit on my hands too. Because we seem to forget that even though God may be quiet in answering our prayers, he is not silent. God speaks to us through his word, and God also speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. And so while we may not have an answer with some particular thing, and we think, man, I'll just sit here, and I'll wait, and I won't do anything until God answers. I mean, I might as well. But get this, you know, God has already given you orders. God has already given you directions. He speaks daily to you, okay? He already has given you what you need to do. Because before Jesus decided to go up and ride his big cloud pony up into the sky, right? Before he went up to the earth, up into the heavens, he was like, hey, before I leave, these are my final words before I go up into heaven. So before I leave, all power has been given to me. So I want you to go out into the world, and I want you to make disciples of all the nations. I want you to baptize them, and I want you to teach them everything that I've told you. You know all the stuff that I was like, hey, you should probably love God and love others. Yeah, all that stuff. I want you to teach the world what that means. You do that while you're going out, and I'll be with you. I will be with you until the ends of the age. Even when you don't think that I'm here, I'm here. Even when you think that I'm silent, I'm here. God isn't silent. He has given us the Great Commission, and he has commanded us to go out and to love others. And this is the hard pill to swallow. If we can't be trusted to following the orders that he's already given us, why would he give us new directions? If we can't, if God's like, hey, I want you to love God and love others. And you're like, okay, but I need a new direction in my life. He's like, why don't you do what I already told you to do? Church, sometimes I think the reason why God is silent because he allows us to be spoken through him. He allows us to be used. He is silent so that he can use us to speak those heavenly words. Because some of the best sermons are not said with words. Some of the best sermons are said with our lives. Because there are some people that you work with or go to school with or live with. There are some people that don't know the love of Jesus Christ. And sometimes by living out our lives, we sure aren't showing them it. Sometimes God is silent so he can say, look, I want to use you. These are the wordless words that God uses. So to firmly grasp this, I want you to understand this. Psalm 19 says this: the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands, and day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them, yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. And in the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It's like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens, and it makes its circuit to the others. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. I want you to understand, God's like, all of creation is screaming my glory, my power, my majesty. And sometimes I think that as humans, we're the only part of God's creation that actively tries to reduce God's glory in our lives. And yet he still says, I want to use you. If God can use creation to preach and to point to his glory, and that's what's called general revelation. If God can use a storm and say, look how powerful I am, that's not even the tiniest bit. Then you can be sure that he will use you to share his revelation to a dying world. Even at those times that we think that God is silent, he is still speaking through all of his creation. And we have that first half of Psalm 19, and then we have the second half of Psalm 19 is where he talks about his precepts. So it is perfect. This is where God is speaking through his word. God isn't just speaking through creation, he's also speaking through his word. Says it's perfect, it's trustworthy, it's right, it's radiant, it's more precious than gold, and it's sweeter than honey. So God doesn't only speak to us through the world around us, but he also speaks to us through his word. And then he ends it with, may the words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my Redeemer. I've said this before, church, but I think we're long past the days where we can just open up the church and people swarm in. People coming to church because it's a responsibility, not because they have a relationship. And so what we need to do is we need to actively shine his glory and his love to a world that so desperately needs to hear it. We need to live out his love more. I once heard this great theologian, and he says this: with great power comes great responsibility. Okay? Some of you will get that, but that's okay. But the saying still holds true. With great power comes great responsibility. And I can't understand what greater power there can be in this world than the power of an infinite God, or a greater responsibility than trying to save people from an eternal death. We need to go out and shine his love. There's an author, his name is Jay Stowell, and he says that as a culture, as a church, as who we are, we live in a culture where the increasing silence of isolation, of loneliness, and despair is almost deafening. And do you feel that sometimes? That sometimes you're just like, man, I feel so alone. I mean, I know that God, it says, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You know, I know that God says he's there with us, that he's my redeemer, he's my rescuer. But sometimes I just feel so alone. I've got people all around me, and I feel so disconnected, and I feel alone. And some of that, it's just overwhelming, it's deafening. And he goes on to say this. He says, churches that build a caring, nurturing community in this increasingly lonely and despairing world, they lay out one of the most clearest and most compelling welcome mats to those outside their walls. We make people feel welcome by what we do inside these walls on Sunday, but we make them feel cared for by what we do outside these walls Monday through Saturday. Because I think church should be a place where we are comfortable for the right reasons, but also uncomfortable for the right reasons. And as a church, we need to understand that visible love creates visible ministry. If we are out there showing people love and we say, man, there's this need for people. And if people actually love who they're trying to reach, if people actually love and reach out, then we will have people who will step up and fill in that gap. There's a world out there that says that God doesn't care for us, that God doesn't exist. And in Romans 10, Paul's like, hey, you know, if people would just call on the name of the Lord, they can be saved. But the world can't be saved unless we go out and we preach his name with every part of our being. And for many of us, that means that we need to lead by loving. For this world that where people are saying God is so silent, that God doesn't speak, that God doesn't exist, we need to be his voice. We need to speak up and say, let me tell you, my God exists, because let me tell you what he's done in my life. Some of this may be hard for some of you guys to hear, because I might be doing some toe-stepping. I might be calling you out. Maybe not by name. I'll let this Holy Spirit do that. But anyway. But let God speak to you. Because, you know, I've said this many times before, a lot of times before we get to share this up in the pulpit, sometimes God addresses our own hearts. We have a lost and dying world out there. And we have a lot of people that sit in this pews, that come and show up on a Sunday, that are content to let Christ be your Savior, but not your Lord. You're like, yeah, God, I will let you save my life. But, you know, as far as giving dominion, as far as giving you my all, I'll give you control over some parts of my life. Like Sunday, Wednesdays, and then we'll go from there. Some of us, we are here in leadership positions in the church, and yet you think you can get away with just serving the Lord and his church half-heartedly. Because what we need is we need more people stepping up in the church. This old, you know, they supposedly, you know, they say about, you know, 10% of the 10% of the people in the church do 90% of the work. It should never be like that. Because what are we? We're the body of Christ. And as you get older, we found out what happens when a body doesn't do what it's supposed to do, right? It starts failing. It starts not working as good as it should. And if we're a part of the body of Christ, there's some things that we should be stepping up and doing. And not only do we need more people stepping up inside the church, but outside these walls as well. Does the community know who we are? Not just the big church on the corner? I mean, we can't expect church members to be involved and invested in the church if our leadership isn't involved and invested as well. And before you think, oh, Joe's asking me, hey, I need to step down. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying, and I want you to absorb, is this. I'm not asking you to step down. I'm asking you to step up. God has created every one of us differently. There are some things that Mike can do that I can't do. God has made each one of us, you know, yeah, I can come up here, I could lead worship, Mike can come up here and lead worship, but I can tell you this, that the way that Mike and I lead worship are completely different. Or for those of you guys that were here when Chuck was here and when John took on, there's some people that were like, whoa, John does ministry completely different than Chuck. That's because God made him differently. And that's awesome. God made each one of you differently. And there's some ways that you're going to do ministry that I can't do, and there's going to be some ways that you can excel at it that I can't do. But this also means that some of us, we need to step up. We need to be involved. We need everyone. Because Jesus doesn't say, hey, some of you, while you're going out, I want you to make disciples. Or he doesn't say, hey, you, and you, I know you're going to be better at doing this than some of the others, so go on and go. He doesn't say that. If you claim Christ as your Savior and your Lord, then we need to get busy. Like in Psalm 19:4, he says, where all of creation, their words, their silent words, are spoken out to the ends of the earth. This is what our love, of God's love in us should do. The world should know who he is, even though the world says, well, God is silent. No, he's not. Maybe for a lost and dying world, they think that God is silent, but maybe it's not him being silent. Maybe it's just us being a poor reflection of his glory. And he loves us, and he is jealous for us. You know what? I want you to understand this, because God loves you. Don't think like, oh, God hates me because I'm so horrible at doing it. Yeah. No. He loves you. He cares for you. And much like a parent loves their parent, loves their kids, and like, hey, go on. I want you to go on. This is how God is for us. He wants us to go out into the world and make his name great, because God is jealous for us. And why is he jealous for us? Because we are made in his image. We are his ambassadors. We are the people who are to go out into the world and tell the world about how great our God is. That's what Israel's job was in the beginning. That's the reason why God was like, hey, I'm going to make you different. I'm going to make you stand out. In the same way, church, we should look different than the rest of the world. We should be his voice resounding throughout the nations. Because love is the greatest weapon that we have. Love combats disconnectedness. It combats isolation. And for some of us, so we think that you know, silent, you know, there's a big difference between having the awkward silence of when you're waiting for someone to say something and having the silence of being able to rest and being saying, okay, I know that I'm loved. Know that I'm cared for. But I also know that I need to get busy. Because this world that we live in, this world has never been so technologically connected and yet so spiritually alone. There are people that are out there lost, desperate for love, trying to find purpose, trying to find meaning, asking someone, would someone please answer me? And God kind of nudging us, hey, that's you, go. Because sometimes we think that God is silent. Sometimes we think God's not speaking to me, and sometimes he can use the silence. Yes, he does. Sometimes it's just like, shh. Sometimes God's silence is necessary. Sometimes it's intentional. And sometimes he's preparing us for something great. But more often than not, I think God's silence, it's not really silence. It's silence just because we're not speaking up. Because we're not doing the job that we need to do. Because he wants us to be his loving voice to a dying and desperately broken world. Church, we've got a job to do. For a broken world that silences too much, we are to be his words. In a moment, you're going to have a chance to respond. And if you want to just come down at the altar and pray, or if you want to make a relationship to accept Christ in your life, or maybe you just feel this is the time to step forward and step up, the altar's always open. You can come talk with me. But I want to encourage you, church. We can't be content with just sitting here. We can't. If the church was the beacon of hope that Christ was, these pews should be full every week. They should be overflowing every week because we as his ambassadors should be showing and carrying his love. Church, we need to go out and make much of him. That's what we're called to do. Continuously point to him. Say, this is the God who rescues, who redeems. So if you would, let's go ahead and stand up. Let's have a word of prayer. Father God, sometimes we don't know what to say. Sometimes it can be overwhelming. We think you're not speaking to us. We think that you don't care about us. But Lord, sometimes your silence is simply to get us to change. Sometimes your silence is to get us to shut up and to listen. God, sometimes your silence is so that we can be used by you. So God, I pray, please help us, Lord. Help us to listen to your voice. For those times that you're speaking and those times that you're not. Help us to dig into your word. That we would be hungry for it. Lord, we thank you for showing us without words the love of your Son. For showing us your love by dying on the cross. God, you are a great God. Help us to hear. I just pray these in your name. Amen.